The Varsity Club Restaurant and Bar salutes the brave men and women of our armed forces. You can help our soldiers by donating blood. One pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Get out and donate blood. This message is courtesy of the Varsity Club Restaurant and Bar, 278 West Lane Avenue in Columbus. Located on campus, serving our community with pride since 1959. The iconic Ohio State Bar and Restaurant. Great food, great cocktails and beer, happy hour and more. That's the Varsity Club Restaurant and Bar. On the air because they care.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your 2 free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Welcome to Gravel Notes with Tom Howard, the start of your 2022 rally coverage. My name is Martin Lee. I'll be your host for many of the podcasts this year. And when I say host, I mean just the person asking Tom the questions, because Tom, this really is your podcast. Your name's in the title, and you'll be going to as many events as possible this year. Let's hope all of them. Tom, welcome to your own podcast, but hey, here we go with 2022. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, no, this is a bit interesting, a different role reversal now, but I'm super excited about the new WRC season. I think you'd be hard not to get excited about a season where we've got brand new rules, nobody knows who's going to win. I can't wait to get into Monaco now.
Before we get into a couple of things actually on this show, you want to cover off the tech changes. I'll be asking you plenty about that, and then we'll have a look at the championship this year. Before we do, you have literally just closed the book on writing your 17-page preview for Autosport magazine. It's out today on Thursday, and if you don't subscribe already, go and pick it up off the shelves. It's the big preview of Formula One, and also every listener to this podcast will be far more interested in WRC. I mean, 17 pages of preview. That just goes to show how anticipated this year is. What on earth have you put into this huge feature?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's been a labour of love for the last 2 weeks. But that's the reason being is there's just so much to talk about. Brand new regulations and driver lineups have changed. We've spoken to every driver in the WRC field to get their opinions on the new cars, the hybrid vehicles that will be used this year. And we've also got talking to all the teams about how they're going to tackle this new challenge. It's they've had to build these cars from scratch. Not a lot of time to get these ready, given that the season last year only finished in November in Monza, so they've had pretty much a busy Christmas, just as I have writing this content.
We've seen a few videos around of the Rally 1 cars. What's your impression?
I guess when you first heard about the regulations, there was perhaps a little bit of scepticism, because the previous cars were so spectacular that you thought, well, how can this act be followed? And there will be an element of that with the new Rally 1 cars, because to start with, they won't be as quick as the previous generation, but that you have to remember the previous generation of cars have had 5 years of development, so it's hard to compare the two. But I think on paper, the cars themselves still look spectacular, they still sound great, and the bonus being is that these actually will produce more horsepower than the previous generation, but only in short bursts with the use of this hybrid power. So we will get 500 horsepower out of these cars, courtesy of the hybrid power, which provides an extra 130 horsepower, but the boosts are only capped at 10 seconds. So we will only see it fleetingly, but I still think it'll be very spectacular to watch.
And of course, when they're on public roads running on electric power, which will be interesting when one of those silently goes past you like a Toyota Prius. Just run the audience through, for anyone that hasn't read your feature yet or who's not fully up to date on everything, what are the main changes that we need to know about this year on top of what you just told
us? Yeah, so we'll start with the hybrid. So basically, we've got the same 1.6-litre turbocharged internal combustion engine, but this is now coupled to a 100-kilowatt control hybrid unit that all the teams will use. This hybrid unit will kick out 130 extra horsepower. And the drivers will activate this using the throttle pedal. And also the power will be fed in using homologated engine maps. So it's quite technical, but in layman's terms, the car will have their boost initiated by the use of the throttle pedal. Now, the drivers will have, as I said, 10 seconds of power at the start of the stage. Once that power is over, they've then got to regenerate power under braking to earn another hybrid power boost. They need to regenerate 30 kilojoules of energy under braking. It's quite a severe braking. It's not like a touch of the brake. It's a heavy brake for this to engage the regeneration and to activate an extra boost. So in theory, they can use as many hybrid boosts during the stage as possible, as long as they regenerate the sufficient power to do so. So the batteries will be at 80% charge at the start of the stage, and the aim is to get down to 30% charge at the end. And this is capped by the FIA to stop the teams trying to get an advantage, shall we say. So the amount of energy used during the stage is the same for everyone. That is the key biggest change. On top of that, aerodynamics have been reduced by around 15% on the cars, so they won't have quite... it will be a big effect on fast rallies, but on slower rallies, you won't notice much difference. There'll also be less suspension travel, and there will also be new, tougher steel space frame chassis that the cars are built around. These are extremely... a great addition, if you ask me, because they've already been tested in regards to their safety through some numerous high profile testing accidents. So and they've come out on top very well. Drivers have walked away from incidents which they would have been injured in I would have thought in the previous generation of cars. So the FIA have done well there to regulate this, and the teams have done brilliantly to build these new chassis from scratch. So basically, they're your key changes. The one last bit, which is actually quite interesting, is there won't be a center active differential in the cars. Now, what that means is these were developed quite heavily by the teams, and they were really handy tools to tune the car's handling. A four-wheel drive car will naturally understeer, so you'll need to tune that out. And this tool was used to do that. Now they've just have a front and rear differential with a 50-50% power split. So it's basically, this is going to be a key topic, because the handling of the cars is much more difficult now. It's really going to be an onus on the drivers to tame these beasts rather than electronics doing it as it had done before. So those are your changes. There's a lot to get through, I know, but that is the key elements of the new Rally One car.
Let's hear from a couple of the drivers now. You caught up with them pre-season. You asked Sebastien Ogier if he felt confident using the hybrid.
Yeah, I have to say, it feels that the team have been doing a decent job on that side, and it feels okay to use it. I cannot say it's bringing real issues into the driving. Obviously, it's fun to have this extra power when you have it, and on that part, it feels okay. But once again, probably the question mark is also reliability, and it will work all the time for everybody.
So there, he says that the question mark is reliability and whether it will work all the time for everybody. That was the quote. How are you feeling about the reliability of these new cars?
This is a very key point of the Rally One cars. They haven't had a lot of time to get all of these ready, in relative terms. So reliability is going to be a massive factor for all the teams. And drivers will, I think, a lot of them will just be happy to reach the end of the rally, just to log some valuable miles, understand these cars more, and then sort of tackle the next few events and be able to unlock more of these potential out of the cars. So yes, reliability is going to be a massive issue. It was already a pretty big issue for Hyundai last year, particularly that team struggled. So this year, reliability will be even bigger prospect. And because we just don't, simply just don't know where everyone is with these cars, all the teams, where they're at, we don't know who's going to win. We don't know who's got done the best job, who's done their homework or not. So yeah, reliability is going to be a massive factor. And in some respects, drivers may be better to just not trundle through the stages, but just be careful and cautious. maybe they might pick up some extra points. Who knows? But maybe it'll be interesting to see just how the drivers will attack this event.
Well, that leads us on to what Solberg spoke to you about, Oliver, and you called him to ask about these new hybrid systems, and he said this.
Yeah, definitely, it's very different. So it will be different for every rally also. So, I mean, it's a lot to learn and a lot to adapt still, but I feel good and I have a good way of using it. And I think, yeah, I just need more mileage, as I said, and it will be all good, hopefully.
So his point there, I need more mileage, he says. So does that kind of play into what you just said, in that the last thing he wants to do is day one, big shunt, lose mileage? Is it possible that we'll see the drivers at maybe 95, 98% of their capacity just because they want to learn?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think that's exactly the case. But in Oliver's situation, it's a slightly different, because this is his first year in the big time with a factory drive for Hyundai, sharing the third car with Danny Sordo. So he's not going to want to throw it off the road on his first day at school, so to speak. So for him, you know, young guy, got a lot of talent, a lot of potential. For him, he just needs to have a clean rally. But for the others, yeah, it's so difficult to know what your strategy is, because we just don't know a lot of... It is really a voyage into the unknown. We don't know who is going to be able to master these cars better. Like, for example, the younger drivers might get to grips with this hybrid technology better than the older drivers. We just don't simply know. There hasn't been enough testing to know where everyone stands. So, yeah, I guess... And because Monte Carlo is such a specialist rally as well, it's unlike any of the others. Maybe there is a case to be said, you know, that's just... You know, go 90%, not 100%, and just bank points, because we don't know how valuable that's going to be come the end of the season.
Now, you also spoke to Craig Breen ahead of the season to talk about driving style and particularly the regen, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, as long as you've regenerated enough, you have to obviously regenerate enough energy on your brake, and then you unlock a boost, and then yeah, that's you straight away. Then and then obviously once that's been used, you have to regenerate enough again on your next braking zone, and yeah, you're just constantly you know, trying to regen as much as possible to allow you to get as many of these boosts as possible.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit, actually, what Craig just said. Now, I have two, or in our household, my wife and I both drive electric cars. So her electric car is a little Renault Zoe. So the way that the Renault Zoe works is there's very little regen when she lets off the throttle. It's brake blended. So when she puts her foot on the brake, the motor starts to slow down the car and it puts energy back into the battery. And then at some point, if she were to brake very hard, or when she gets down to 5 miles an hour, friction brakes kick in. I drive an MG ZS EV. It doesn't do brake blending. I let my foot off the throttle and the car starts to slow down. Sometimes, if it's in, you know, version like regen 3 mode, quite a lot. And so I'm aware when I'm driving, until electric cars are maybe more popular or more people have them, I tend to slow down for a red light or a roundabout sooner, and I'm letting my foot off the throttle. But of course, the car is then slowing down at a slower pace, but the brake lights don't come on and people are following me closely. And I'm aware that actually I've changed my driving style so that I'm not on the brakes, because the minute I push the brakes in mine, the friction brakes kick in. So that's a very long explanation to ask you. Have you spoken to any of the drivers? We heard Craig mention there about how regen works. Do you think this could possibly change driving style? Because as you explained at the start of the podcast, it's only going to recharge the batteries under heavy braking. There's no chance that when they go out on the first stage, they're going to all be driving totally different to what they've done before. But will the drivers have to adapt in terms of thinking, well, I need to go into a really heavy braking zone here to get more energy back into the battery because I want more power boost? What do you think?
Absolutely. And a lot of the drivers have already said that they will have to alter their driving styles because of this hybrid power, because how it works is crucial. Like, if you're coming out of a slow corner and you haven't regenerated enough to get that extra boost, that will cost you valuable stage time. You could even lose a stage from that, not having that acceleration. So it's massively important, as Craig was saying there, that you've got to think differently, which is another interesting aspect to this whole championship, that the drivers are now going to have to completely sort of turn on its head what they've done before in some respects, because they will need to make sure they get the regeneration to get this extra power boost, because if they don't, it's going to cost some valuable time on the stages. It's a really interesting concept. As Elfyn Evans also said, that it will be a massive difference if you don't get these accelerations. So there's going to be a lot of focus on making sure they get the regeneration complete. It's going to be an interesting concept. I'm not quite sure how they're all going to cope with it, which is just another intriguing prospect. The other thing about hybrid that we should say is that when they do regenerate this power, it's used as soon as they touch the throttle pedal. So they can't just pick and choose where they deploy this power. It's as soon as they touch the throttle pedal again. So it's so crucial. It's going to be an interesting situation. Also with hybrid, we should obviously point out that the FIA will, on each event, determine how many kilometres or miles will be used in EV mode, so electric-only mode. For Monte Carlo, we're only actually going to have, I think it's 2.27 miles of full electric mode. Now, I'm sure this will increase as the season gets on and they understand how to use it all. But again, if you forget to go into electric mode, there's going to be penalties for doing this if you don't do it. There's also other factors that will come into play. The reason for this, obviously, is to showcase a bit more green, environmentally friendly future for WRC, but also they also want to plan to use EV mode when the cars are going through towns and cities to sort of lessen the noise and the pollution or whatever that disruption, shall we say, that these cars have. So there's a lot of thinking behind it, but again, we will see how it's executed once the rally begins.
What do you think about how it might or might not affect the show? And what I mean by that is I'm a huge fan of Rallycross. And part of that is just the visceral experience and the madness. And partly because the races are short and it, you know, appeals to the TikTok generation. And it literally is a made-for-TV sport, literally. But watching the electric version of that this year is going to be different, and I want to have an open mind, and the cars are still going to be spectacularly fast, but I drive two electric cars, right? So I'm all in with electric, but my racing, I don't know, man, it's a place to burn stuff. Like, if I'm going down the shops to go get a pint of milk, I don't mind driving electric. That makes sense for the planet. Have you spoken to people, drivers, team bosses, about the show? Because the testing so far, from my perspective, I haven't seen it in person, only on video, seems all right.
Yeah, I think the WRC has actually found a nice blend between both worlds, because let's be honest, on the stages, the cars won't sound any different, because when the hybrid power is engaged, there's still the internal combustion engine, so it's still kicking out the usual sound, which we all love. The only difference you'll see is genuinely when the cars are in service park and when they're driving through the EV zones on the road sections, they will be obviously a lot quieter in electric mode. So I actually think the WRC's done a very clever thing here, with that they've lessened the blow, shall we say, of, you know, the downsides of having electric in motorsport when the action is on. So I think we're going to see much difference in terms of that visceral reaction, as you said, in the sport. They're still going to do the pops and bangs we all love and the spectacular nature of it. So I actually think the WRC can be commended for the way they've tackled its approach to being a bit more environmentally friendly without sort of taking too much away from the show.
All right, there endeth part one of Gravel Notes back in 2022. And join us as we talk about the championship next. Welcome back to the second part of Gravel Notes with Tom Howard. My name is Martin Lee, and I'll be joining Tom on a few of his podcasts this year to ask him the questions. But Tom, you are our man going to as many of the events as possible, and that all starts with Monty this weekend. You must be so buzzing to go to that. You described it before we started recording as a bucket list event, so you're excited,
right? Oh, absolutely,
right?
Yeah. I mean, it's the Monte Carlo Rally. Like, it's one of the most famous there is. So, it's been on my list for a long time. So to be actually there and to be there for a huge change of the rules as well, there's so much to talk about. Yeah, I'm super excited to go.
Let's talk about the championship then. We've covered off the tech in the first part. We heard from Ogier, Solberg and Bree. Now let's talk about some of the championship battles we're going to see this year and hear from more of the drivers that you spoke to as well for our 17-page Autosport magazine preview. In terms of the championship, drivers and teams, what are the big stories that your listeners need to be looking out for?
Of course, the big story is that Sebastian Ogier won't win the 2022 World Championship. He is only doing a partial campaign for Toyota. So we are going to get, theoretically, a different champion. So a key player in that mix who's won 8 World Championships, including the last two, is no longer there. So there's very much everyone will be fighting it out to follow in his footsteps to become champion. So it's going to be very unpredictable. Also, we don't know who's done their homework with the car. So we don't really know who's going to come out on top. But there are obviously some key contenders. So I think you'd be hard-pressed not to have Elfyn Evans at Toyota, Kalle Rovanperä, his teammate, the Hyundai of Thierry Neuville and Oit Tanak, and M Sport's Craig Breen, for me, those are your contenders for the championship. And it's an interesting mix of drivers there.
Okay, that first name you mentioned there, Elfyn Evans, you caught up with him on the phone recently to ask him about that kind of runner-up status. And here's what he had to say.
There's a lot of fast guys in the championship now, some of which haven't had the best luck, let's say, over the last year or so. So it is, going to be really difficult to predict. And of course, now we've got Ford coming into the mix again, with a strong driver lineup, etc. So it's going to be really difficult to call who's going to be in form, to be honest. And, that makes it exciting going into the new season.
So, what do you reckon? Is he favourite?
He's proven that he can be a world champion the last 2 years, as we said there. He's been runner-up for the last 2 years to Ogier. He's pushed him all the way in those seasons in the same equipment. So he's, you'd have to say, if all things considered, you have to say on paper he would be the favourite to be title contender. But because the cars are so different and we don't know how good this Toyota's going to be, we just simply can't say that he's favourite because we don't know where he ranks up against the others. But he even said that, you can't call me favourite because we just, there's so many unknowns this year. And he's also said that he's not super comfortable with this new Toyota yet. So the fact that he's mentioned that already is quite concerning, I suppose, for Elfyn Evans fans, because he does tend to need to have the car, in a perfect situation for him to extract the best out of the car. And when he is like that, he's phenomenal, as we saw with his wins in Rally Finland and Portugal last year. So he needs the car in his sort of wheelhouse, shall we say, for him to perform. But again, you can't rule him out because he's clearly talented enough to win this title. So his biggest opposition could even come from his teammate, Kalle Rovanperä. So it's going to be a really interesting battle at Toyota.
Well, it doesn't come much better than having a fan in Ari Vatanen who said that Rovanperä is going to be the next youngest world champion. And you put that question to him when you gave him a bell to ask about his season.
It's a bit tricky always. I don't really want to think those things too much because, of course, it's nice to hear those words and somebody's trusting and counting on me. I don't really think about it so much because I know that the only thing what I can do is try to do my best I can and try to achieve the good results for myself, because that is always the main point for me.
So So when you got off the phone to him, that was a bit of a politician's answer he gave. He knows the game, a bit of a non-answer, which is, yeah, it's nice, but hey, we'll see. Like all motor racing drivers have kind of got that answer, non-answer. Do you reckon he really knows, though? He's got a good opportunity this year.
I think he's being clever there because he doesn't want to put any extra pressure on himself. And let's be honest, he's still very young. He doesn't need to have that extra pressure on there. So he's being very clever there. But there's no doubting the talent that this kid has because he got his first two rally wins last year, the first one in Estonia, and then he obliterated the field in Acropolis, which is not a place you go and do, certainly on your debut at that event as well. So there's reason why Ari Vatanen said that, because the guy is going to be a superstar. There's no question about it. He will be, I'm sure he'll be a world champion at some point. And he's got plenty of years in the bank to still be the youngest, because Colin McRae did it when he was 27, and so Callie's got a lot of time to do it. For me, he could well be the champion this year. There's no question why he couldn't. If the car is good, and he does exactly what he's done last season and builds on that, he's going to be a formidable person to beat.
And then you also spoke to Oit Tanak and put to him that perhaps last year was frustrating, but also this year could be wiping the slate clean. And here's what he had to say.
Definitely the guy's been working, and we worked quite a lot on the performance side, and the car improved. But yeah, we just didn't manage to put the package together. But now we had a blank page, so we had a good chance to work through everything, and hopefully for the next couple of years it will work out.
So yeah, he mentions the kind of blank page of 2022. Do you think it's going to be really important for him to kind of go into this, forget what's happened before, and just try and start fresh?
Absolutely. And let's remember, Oit Tanak is the only driver to have actually sort of beaten Ogier to a world championship in recent years in 2019. So he won the most stage wins last year. So he has the speed, has the skill, but reliability was so costly for him last year. But again, reliability is going to be a factor this year. So it's a really tricky one for him and Hyundai, because they were the last manufacturer to commit to the new rules. So they've been playing catch up with the development of these cars already. And they lost their team principal last month due to personal reasons. So the team's without a team principal at the moment. So there's a lot of upheaval, shall we say, going on at Hyundai. So that's the last thing you want when you're trying to develop a brand new car. And they also had a sizable testing accident with Thierry Neuville in December too. So it's not been a happy couple of months down there for that team. But Oit, I think this is just what he needs, though. It's a blank page, clean slate. He could be the one to go on and win this title, because he's got this sort of ability to extract speed, which I haven't seen from other drivers quite like the way he does it. And I think he'll just be so fired up after last year that he will just go out there and hopefully do the business.
Now, let's finish off by talking a little bit about the season. Now, it's at the minute, we don't know what's going to happen, because over the last 2 years, motorsport calendars have been all over the place. But say we do, is it looking like 12 events at the moment? Do you think that's pretty nailed on?
It will be 13. I've been assured that it will be 13. I know there's a TBC in the calendar, but I have spoken to the WRC today, actually, and they have confirmed to me that there will definitely be 13 rounds. I mean, the biggest problem that they've had over the last 2 years, like every championship, has been COVID-19 and how to deal with that. But there does seem to be some brightness on the horizon. There are a couple of flyaway events back on the calendar with New Zealand and Japan. And I know Japan was on the calendar for the last 2 years and missed out due to COVID, but you'd have to think third time around, we will get there. So I think from a calendar point of view, this is the only situation that they need to sort is this TBC round, which won't be Rally Northern Ireland now, as we found out. That event is now no longer going to happen, which is a real shame for obviously all our fans in the UK. But there is there is a genuine hope that a UK round will happen next year. So the WRC are very, very keen to get back to the UK, and I will be I'm feeling pretty confident there will be a UK round next year. So in terms of the calendar, I think it's just how what happens with COVID. If there's another variant or whatever, then who knows what's going to happen. But as it stands at this point in time, I think we will get a 13 round season.
So after Monte Carlo, we'll then head to Sweden in February, Croatia in April, Portugal in May, Italy in June. So those are the first five events before Kenya. From your conversations you've had with the teams and the team bosses, how will the teams be approaching the season? Last year, and I mean during COVID, particularly the flyaway races, there was a lot more remote working going on. And the kind of the idea of the control center back at base that I think, you know, Formula One's fans would be familiar with, increasingly seeing perhaps that in rally in terms of people thinking, do I really need to travel? Do you think that will continue, and or do you think teams are keen to get everyone back at every event? What's your take on that?
I think teams will be keen to get as many people as possible to every event this year because of the new cars. And the reason being is there's just so many unknowns. And I think they're going to need as many hands to the pump as possible to maybe fix things if they've gone wrong. For example, if a team has developed their car and it's found to be in the wrong direction, they need to act fast and be quickly and have as many staff as possible to be able to get this correct. So I think there actually won't be a lot of remote working. I think they'll be trying to get as many people as possible on the ground, because who knows what is going to be thrown up with these new rules. We simply don't know. So just speaking to the teams, that's my view at this point. I think they will be just... they've been hand to mouth for the last few months, so I think it will carry on. I think it'll be an extremely grueling campaign for them all this year.
And when you first step into the service park, what's going to be your first port of call? I imagine Ogier and Loeb are going to be probably inundated with people wanting to talk about that rivalry in Monte Carlo, but as you finally get back into the actual atmosphere, what's going to be your, you know, the first thing that you want to do? Is it just to get a lay of the land and walk around and just chat to people? So let the listeners know about what you'll be doing.
As soon as I get on the deck there, I think the first thing I'll do is make sure I go and have a look at all three of the cars. Just have a little nose about, see what they actually look like in the flesh, because I've only been and seen the Puma, but that was before it had its spectacular purple livery, shall we say, that lit up social media last weekend. So, which is great. And it's awesome for the sport to see stuff like that, because it's great to see fans getting excited about a livery. You know, so often teams tend to go with the same thing year on, year out. The fact that M Sport were very bold, went out there with a purple car. And I said to my colleagues that, you know, surely they've got to do a deal with Cadbury, because like this is just perfect for them. Like if they get Cadbury boost bars on the side of that car with the hybrid boost, well, it's a marketing, you know, opportunity gone missing. So anyway, but I think
it's a genius.
I think
move.
The first thing I'd do is go down and have a look at these cars, because I think it'd be interesting just to see them up close, just to see how the three teams have tackled it, which ways they've gone. I'll be very keen to do that first up, and then have a chat with the drivers. Obviously, you hit on there Ogier and Loeb, which we haven't talked about yet. Is the other exciting element to this Monte Carlo rally is that the two greatest WRC drivers are potentially going head to head again, and these two have 15 Monte Carlo wins between them. So it's quite a bit of dominance between the two Sebs. So Loeb will be in a fourth Puma. That's only for one event at this stage, whereas Ogier will be doing a partial season. So, it's going to be spectacular. I mean, they're not short of headlines or storylines. So I think I'm going to be very busy over the next few days.
Certainly, you know, I cast my mind back to the start of the podcast when you said, in theory, Ogier won't be the world champion this year. But, like, there are so many unknowns this is going to be a season you do not want to take your eyes off. Don't miss it for a second. That's the start of our 2022 coverage here on the Gravel Notes podcast. We'll certainly be here with every preview and review. And as you and I have been talking about, if there is some really interesting things happening mid-event, there's no reason why we, maybe you or both of us, won't pop up on this channel and have a chat about things for the podcast listeners, because it's going to be a kind of suck it and see this season, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, can't wait. It's been a long time since we've gone into an event where we simply don't know who is going to win. So, yeah, and the fact that we will potentially have three teams going at it with some lovely looking new cars, yeah, cannot wait.
Make sure you follow us on our socials. Check out Autosport. Tom, last year what you did in terms of kind of the weekend coverage was just brilliant, posting some fantastic highlights and some great retweets of some fan videos and stuff. Looking forward to doing seeing more of that, I should say. And make sure that anyone you know who loves rally knows about Gravel Notes. We are back for a new year with Tom in the hot seat. Like I say, hopefully all, but as many as events that COVID allows us to be at. Make sure you are subscribed, and we'll see you on the next one.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.